Hey everybody, and welcome to an exhilarating wild ride with Steve-O. This one is just plain fun. We've got the wildly successful entrepreneur and YouTuber Cody Ko. And he isn't just wildly successful, he is hilarious and handsome. So, just strap on your seatbelts and get ready to get into it.
Are we recording on all cameras?
We sure are.
Oh, we are? All right.
Are we recording
Dad,
everywhere?
How good is it to have his paw back, dude?
At this point, I'd be dripping sweat, like, the wires are fucking being crossed.
I'm leaving this in.
Yeah, you can put that on your Instagram, dude.
I missed a few episodes.
Well, then let's get to it.
Oh, yeah, where were you?
I was traveling. I went home to the Midwest.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was nice. Very nice.
All right. And he got engaged.
No way.
And I got engaged.
Yeah,
congrats,
right.
Dude. Thank you.
Who takes two fucking weeks to ask one question?
It's a lot of pressure, man. You're just sweating for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I was, dude. I was.
When do I do it?
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Cody Ko. Yeah, dude. Woo. So,
thank you so much for having me. Sorry to interrupt. I was so stoked.
Rad.
When they reached out and they said, Steve, I want you to be on. I was like, yes. How much? Can I say yes 3 times?
Dude, and then thank God, because I dare say we are in a little bit of a slump. I shouldn't say that.
you don't want to say that.
Well, no, but dude, I'm an open book, man. And from what I understand, on the audio side, we're very consistent. But it's on the YouTube side that people are so finicky that, like, some podcasts are wildly popular and our last,
sure.
4, 5, 6.
And it's nothing against the guests. They are great shows.
Yeah.
They just didn't get the numbers.
I'm not saying that we've done,
we haven't
made a bet. And I would rather have a great episode that's got low viewership than a shitty episode that's got a lot.
Yeah.
I hear that.
So in that respect, we are on fire.
Yeah, but we enjoy doing it. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
This one's going to be a shitty episode that doesn't get a lot of views. It's going to be the worst of both worlds.
That's what I've learned about you, is that you're quick to be self-deprecating. It's endearing. I think that's one thing that made Jackass a cultural phenomenon. That we took it a step further. We were comfortable looking super uncool.
Yeah. Yeah, but you guys were legends, though.
Yeah,
well,
you were
thanks,
pretty
man.
Cool at the same time.
Yeah,
you kind of walked that line.
Right. So yeah, dude, I'd say thank you for doing it. You know, I think that this episode's going to be a performer, and I think it's going to be a great episode. And before we started recording...
Pressure's on.
You said that you had sent me a DM. Did I respond to it?
No, you didn't even read it.
I never even saw it.
Well, I mean, I wasn't really expecting you to, and then I saw that you followed me, so I was like, oh my God.
Oh, there you
and
go.
I was, like, stoked about that, like, in the first place. And then I... Because I've been obsessed with, like, watching van life videos and stuff like that, and I'm a big surfer, too. And so it's, like, kind of my dream to buy one of these things and just go down to, like, Huntington and surf for the whole day. Like, just
sure.
do a morning session, post up in here, drink a beer, whatever, and then go out in the evening.
I mean, dude, that's easy.
Yeah.
That's easy, but why stop there? I mean, fuck, dude, go up to Oregon.
Big Sur.
Go surf.
Oh, yeah, I've heard
know?
That's unreal. I mean, I've been there, but not, like, in a van like this. I've heard that's, like, ideal.
Dude, I kind of want to fucking go surf Tofino, British Columbia,
yes.
dude. Like,
I'm from Calgary, Canada.
Dude, rad.
So I'm, yeah.
Have you surfed Tofino?
Never, but I've always wanted to.
I've been there a couple times.
Have you?
Yeah.
And is it good? Is it fun?
I had fun.
You've been a couple times.
I have. I went in January of 2013.
That's rough. So you were like full hood, booties, gloves.
Yeah.
Was it similar to Alaska?
Alaska was more intense.
Wow.
Cold wise?
I'm already getting in trouble with people for talking too much about me, dude. I got a Cody Ko right here. When did you start surfing?
Like 7 years ago now, probably. So I was like 23.
And so you moved from Canada and you went to college here?
I went to college in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Duke.
Yeah. You're a diver.
Duke. Yep. Platform diver.
Springboard diver.
Yeah. Okay.
I was too pussy for platform.
Are you...
That shit hurts.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
What do you mean it hurts? Why? Because you're so high
dude,
up in the
splat. You don't land perfect every time, dude.
Yeah.
When you come from 33.33 feet.
You ever dove off
rough.
A 10 meter and like did the like twists and turns?
Yeah, I've done a front 1.5. So like a front flip to a dive off 10 meter. That was like the most complicated it got for me up there. And then I was like, this sucks. I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
And it's just rough. Like, even when you enter the water perfectly, it's so much stress on the shoulders. And I don't know how people do that for years and years and years.
How do divers have such good bodies if all they do is dive all day? I mean, they're jacked and they're ripped. Are they working out?
Yeah. You do, like, an hour of, like, dry land beforehand, which is, like, abs. Like, a lot of them have, like, diving boards that go into mats. And it's like a, you know, diving itself is like a huge, like, cardio muscle combination workout.
I would think it's a lot of core, too, just like getting your body out.
Especially the platform divers with the arm stands. Like, these arm stand dives are pretty heavy. Plus, just getting out of the pool that many times, dude, that's a lot of reps.
That's true.
I mean, that's like a serious push up, dude.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the name Brian Gillooly?
No.
Okay, because he was the 1994 senior diving champion after winning a record 10 consecutive junior national titles.
Oh, holy shit.
And he taught me how to do standing backflips, which I quickly turned into simultaneous fire-breathing standing backflips.
Which then turned into tucking your dick between your legs and doing a backflip.
In front of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Man, they didn't like it.
That's right. What we did for diving workouts too.
Right.
Everyone tuck the dicks.
So you're an NCAA springboard diving champ, 1 meter, 3 meter.
Yeah.
And what was your most technical dive on the 3 meter?
Front 2.5 double twist. That was my hardest dive and also probably my best because it's like the highest degree of difficulty, so you get the most points.
Have you posted on your IG what we call a ripper?
Like a no splash?
Where you ripped it, and then it's so crazy, like the rip, it's called ripping it, where not only is there no splash, but like you create this vacuum as you go in, and so it like sucks in, like, and then just bubbles up. Like,
whoa.
Yeah, that's why they call it a rip, because it's like the sound. It sounds like you're ripping. It's like a very particular sound.
Yeah.
That's
how often does that happen in the diving world,
dude? This last Olympics, it happened like every fucking time for this Chinese girl,
dude. Like the 13-year-old or 14-year-old one
on the 10 meter.
I couldn't believe that she got tens on like everything. You never see that.
Straight tens across the board on every fucking.
She was also like 40 pounds.
Wow.
I mean, dude, that will never be beaten. I don't know how you could ever beat that. Like, that was the most dominant Olympic performance ever.
It really was incredible.
Jesus.
Yeah.
The movie Conehead, she dove pretty good.
So you have you've got footage of good rippers?
Like mine?
Yeah.
I got a couple good rippers. Damn. I got some footage, but like I'm so bad at like backing up hard drives and making sure when I get a new computer I like, you know, take care of the old footage. So it's all sitting somewhere on an old computer in like my closet and I have no idea where it is.
I have trouble believing that you're an unorganized person.
Oh, I absolutely am.
Oh, yeah?
I'm a scatterbrain.
All right.
I try to be organized, but it's just, I don't know. I want to do like a million things.
How long ago?
Which I'm constantly thinking about.
How long ago was that epic beef with Jake Paul? Oh, we're going to get all up into Cody and Jake's beef, but first let me tell you about mine with plastic. It is destroying the environment, and you want to know who's doing something about it? The good people at Liquid Death. Yeah, it's water and a big, beautiful tall boy that looks just like a beer can. And you know what's special about these cans? They're infinitely recyclable. So that's the whole deal. Death to plastic and murder your thirst with this delicious sparkling water. And they've also got that gorgeous, pure mountain spring water from like Austria. Dude, come on. This company's great. I love them. And you see how much better I look lately? It's because I'm drinking more water. Turns out it's really good for you. And you can feel super good about saving the world when you're drinking Liquid Death. And they got a great new deal, and I'm excited to tell you about it. If you go to liquiddeath.com/Stevo, you've got free shipping on every order of water and merch. And let me tell you, their merch is hilarious. So, for free shipping on all your orders of water and merch, go to liquiddeath.com/Stevo. And once again, look better because you're drinking more water, feel better because you're saving the world, and be better because you're a wild ride listener. Now, let's talk about that beef.
That was like almost 2 years ago now,
okay.
I think.
Or maybe longer than that. Maybe 3 years.
Yeah, maybe 3 years.
That was something else, huh?
Yeah, that was pretty wild.
And now, so just to,
and now he could beat the shit out of me. I mean, he probably could back then too.
Right. Like, I mean, it wasn't anything terribly aggressive that you had done, right? Like, you just sort of made a reaction video to his rapping and called it cringy and, like, and so then he shows up, just bum rushes you on, like, some set that you were working on and, like, really aggro and, like, ah, come on, come on.
Yeah, it was supposed to be, like, a joke. Like, the guy that hit
Jeff
him up.
Jeff Wittick.
Yeah, he was, like, thought that he'd be kind of, like, in on the joke.
Right.
And then he came in. He, like, used it as an opportunity to, like, film it himself.
Right.
And, yeah, the whole thing felt just really weird. I was, like, really uncomfortable. Like, afterwards, I was like, man, I feel like, I don't know what the fuck just happened.
Right.
It was really bizarre.
I think it read that way. That, like, when you saw him, you were like, oh, hey, man, I'm fucking cool, dude. Like, you know, you could tell that there was nothing, like, there's no real, like, malice or animosity on your part.
Right, yeah.
And he came with this crazy energy. And what was most odd, I think, to me, was that it was Jake himself who put out the video that just felt, like, awkward and weird.
Yeah.
And kind of, like, you looked like, he kind of felt like he put out a video that made you look good. And
yeah,
him
it was,
look bad. I don't know.
The whole situation was so bizarre. Plus, I had a fresh cut. Yeah. I had just gotten a fresh haircut. I looked incredible.
He accused you of being a bully.
Yeah,
cyberbully.
Yeah, cyberbully. Yeah.
Did that change your approach to internet bullying?
Yeah, I started bullying in a different way after that. I think, like, you know, sometimes I go back and I watch those old videos, like, that's cringes and stuff like that we used to do, the ones that he was pissed about. I mean, I don't even know if he was pissed at the one that we did about him. He probably was. But I go back and watch those, and sometimes I'm like, man, we did go really fucking hard. But it's like, it's a young dude thing, you know, mid-20s, you think you're the fucking man, can't do any wrong. And then you get to 30 and you're like, I just, like, you know.
I just want everybody to like me.
Yeah, and it's just like, I'm getting older now, and it's like, you know, as cliche as it sounds, it's like negativity doesn't really breed anything. Like, the ceiling is pretty low.
Well,
so, like, now it's like we do, you know, we still are try to remain edgy, and, like, we're comedians, so we, you know, like to make fun of shit, but in a little bit of a lighter-hearted way, I guess. I don't know.
Now, when you say we, like, you have a distinct crew?
I mean, I do my podcast, I do with Noel. Like my comedy partner, and then I do videos with my girlfriend Kelsey. We make content together.
Noel, were you guys in Vancouver and we met in the Just for Laughs thing?
Yeah, and you're, dude.
And you guys hung out and watched my show.
Noel did. I didn't. We went and watched.
He was like, "Fuck that."
I totally would have been there. Kelsey wanted to see one of her favorite comedians, and so it was just on the street, and so we walked down.
Right.
But I heard that your show is phenomenal and also, like, insanely gross and, like, disturbing.
Oh,
like,
dude.
I think your tour manager was, like...
Yeah.
I think we talked to you at the bar then, afterwards. You said that, like, every show, multiple people have to leave because
they're
puking.
Oh, yeah. You were there with
puking.
A couple dudes.
Yes.
Full-grown men pass out cold. They faint, completely unconscious. Sometimes they hit their heads, and it's because they from one of the bits in the show, which is the vasectomy Olympics.
Right.
Yeah, dude, it's a lot of fun, man. It's a lot of fun.
That was a great festival, wasn't it?
We spoke.
Dude, it was.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
I remember that.
Yep.
Yeah, we had the same contact person at Full Screen.
Yeah,
you used to work at Full Screen.
I did. Yeah,
I read that.
Yep. I was repped by them, and I worked for them as a software engineer.
Full Screen doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah, they just dissolved pretty much.
Oh.
Yeah, and it seems that, it's always like an evolving, moving world of, you know, digital content creation, and now I think we're in a climate that really doesn't favor being with a network like Full Screen.
Yeah, there's just no reason to be anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know.
Unless you need, like, help with production, but, like.
No, but they don't even really offer that, I don't think.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was mostly just, like, an MCN type right. thing, which 10 years ago used to be huge because they would help you like collab with other YouTubers and stuff. That stuff like doesn't really mean as much anymore.
Well, collabing with YouTubers certainly means everything that always.
But you
can
just reach out to a YouTuber and do it yourself.
Yeah, and it's a different type of thing. Like the relationship used to be like we'll do an 8-minute video on your channel, and then we'll do one on my channel where we don't think about the concepts at all. It's just the fact that we're on each other's channels will drive our audience. It doesn't really work like that anymore. It's like you actually have to think about the way you're collaborating with people, like doing this stuff. And
I'm pretty protective in general. Like my feeling is that if it's about showing up on someone else's channel, then like I'm a whore, you know? I'm there.
Dude, the ones you did with Steve Will Do It were amazing.
Oh,
like
thanks,
that's a great collab.
Well, thanks, man. I
watched every
that.
Angle of that shit on his channel, on your channel. I was like, couldn't get enough.
Dad,
how's your ear?
I will gladly tell you all about my ear just as soon as I get done telling you about my dick. Because in about a half an hour from now, it is going to be properly hard as a rock. Why? Because I am treating myself to a Blue Chew tablet. Get out of here, you little... Now, what is a Blue Chew tablet? Well, it's a delicious... chewable tablet with the same active ingredients as both Viagra and Cialis. And it makes you hard as a rock. I've tried it many, many times and I absolutely love it. You know who else loves it? When I take one? Lux. Because when I show her my blue tongue, she's jumping for joy because she knows she's going to get drilled in a serious way. So, let me tell you about this, because not only is it a lot of fun, but when you get your Blue Chew tablets, it's really easy. Doesn't require you to go to any awkward in-person doctor visit. No. At BlueChew.com, you consult with one of their medical providers right on the website, super quick, super easy, and then boom, you're good to go. And if at BlueChew.com you use the promo code Stevo, you get an entire month's supply of BlueChew tablets absolutely for free. All you got to pay is $5 for shipping. So, come on. I mean, if it ever occurred to you that it might be a lot of fun to try a Blue Chew tablet, now is the time to pull the trigger. Because you know why? It's fall, man. Fall is here, and everybody could use a good stiff breeze. So head on over to BlueChew.com, use the promo code Stevo, and get yourself an entire month's supply of Blue Chew tablets absolutely for free, and pay nothing but $5 for shipping. And then get ready to have a good time. Now, let's get back to it, man. Dude, my ear fucking healed up on its own.
Did it really?
Back to normal, dude. Out of the woods, I'm Wolverine.
That's wild. I couldn't believe when you were, like, doing this and it was whistling.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it worked like that.
I know, dude. I sent a video of me with my whistling trick to Dr. Drew.
Oh, yeah.
He's my guy. Okay, Dr. Drew's my guy.
Was he like, that's not supposed to do that?
He said you definitely have a ruptured tympanic membrane, which is just him showing off having a fancy word for eardrum.
Right. We get it, dude. You're a doctor. We get it, bro.
And he blew your eardrum out. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
and
dude.
Then we saw Steve Will Do It this last weekend over in Dania. That was fun.
How was that?
It was cool.
He came to my show. We're back up with the bucket list tour.
He came to the show, and there was a portion of it where he walked up and he's like, I want to buy some merch. So I was like, all right, dude. And then he's like, I want to buy everything.
I want to buy $1 million worth of merch.
He bought everything. And then when he was paying, he was like, is there like a tip button here? And I'm like, there's not, dude. And I'm like, God damn it. Why isn't there a tip button? Like, he would just tip me like 87 grand. And
I'll take, I take chains or watches, whatever you want to give me.
And he was just like, are you sure there's no tip button here? And he was like waiting for me. And I'm like, there's not, dude. I fucked up.
Why not? There's a tip button.
This is my Venmo.
Dude.
Yeah. There's no tip button, but there is a Lamborghini dealership just out here.
I know, and I'm not like quick enough to be like, you know, some sort of jive to like, oh no, well we can just do this, but custom work. I was just like, fuck, dude.
Yeah,
I
watched your podcast with him because I was also curious about the rate at which he spends money, because it's really unbelievable. Like,
it is,
and I mean it's working. Like, it's people love watching his videos because they're like, what's he gonna buy this week?
Yeah,
and so it like kind of fuels the whole ecosystem, but it's unbelievable. I mean, it's like it's like irresponsible, but it's fun to watch. I cannot lie that it, you're
like,
not.
Like, I mean, it's such a fucking fascinating thing. And you look at David Dobrik giving away, like, cars every video. Like, David Dobrik's pretty, but David Dobrik is so evidently calculated and strategic. And whenever he's giving something away, it's something that, like, came from the sponsor anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and it's super tied in, like, very strategically to the sponsorship,
yeah.
You know? So, you know, David Dobrik is really, you know, kind of pro about it. Whereas what makes Steve Will Do It so compelling is that he's just fucking out of his mind. Like, it's so clearly not strategic, and he's just
it's compulsive. It's like, how much is that? Sure, let's do it.
Right.
Fuck it.
And you want one too? Great. We'll get you too.
Right. Your dog wants one, we'll get one for her too. Uh-huh.
I think compulsive is a good word for it. And what I wanted to urge Steve Will Do It to do is watch this documentary called Broke.
Okay.
It's a documentary, it's fucking fascinating, about like how like such the overwhelming majority of professional athletes who earn tens of or hundreds of millions of dollars in their career, like, are completely broke within 5 years of their professional career ending, you know? And like, so when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to delete this off my iPad. Like, I want a constant reminder of, like, don't think that money coming in is how it's always going to be.
Yeah.
And then like, but the thing is with Steve Will Do It, I wonder if that's even applicable because he's making so much fucking money.
I know.
Yeah, but it's kind of like what Shaq said. It's like, okay, cool, we made $20 million, but you didn't make $20 million. You made $10 million.
Right.
Like, I wonder tax time happens as he's just like, fuck.
But is that a write-off for Steve? Like, I gave away like $3 million last
year. It's gotta
year. Like,
be.
That's gotta go against his taxes.
The one thing that I wonder about, I don't know who is doing his taxes, but that person must be stressed as fuck.
Yeah. It's like Mike Tyson's tax guy in the 80s, dude.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. 100%.
You bought
a
tiger?
Example.
Can we write that off?
Yeah, for sure.
Dude,
Mike Tyson had a mansion for his tigers next door. Like a 9,000 square foot mansion for them as their cat house.
Jesus Christ. I mean, that's just smart money, though. That's a smart purchase.
Yeah.
What I wonder is that, like, my friend and fellow YouTuber Danny did a video about...
Danny
Gonzalez.
Okay.
He did a video about, like, the logistics of giving someone a car. Because it's not just, here's a Ferrari. It's like, here's a Ferrari and a fuck ton of taxes that you have to pay on this car.
Mm-hmm. It's
so
the
a lot
game
of people...
Show. Like, all kinds of people who won game shows got in serious trouble with the IRS.
Because a lot of the times it says, like, on, you know, like, giveaway rules and stuff like that, if you read the terms, it's like you can't sell it within the first month. So people go broke because they were given this crazy gift and they can't afford it.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, like, Steve giving these people Ferraris and stuff, it's like the most expensive car you can have.
What's
the aftermath of that is like? Like, is it under their name? Is under Steve's name, and they can just drive it forever.
Yeah, how do you claim it on the taxes? And
yeah,
I know George Clooney. I remember there's an article on George Clooney. He made like 10 of his friends millionaires, but he gave them $1 million, and then he gave them $300,000 on top of it to pay the taxes on the million.
Yeah,
so I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that is cool. I've heard that story. He like apparently took his buddies out for dinner at this place in Mexico, and it was like 10 of his best friends from college or whatever. This is right after he sold Casamigos. And he was like, all right, I want everyone to reach under the table. And there was an envelope with $1 million in there.
That's great.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Man, that's...
It's like, I would never fucking do that. I'm kidding.
Well, it's an awkward thing. You know, like money is like an awkward thing. And it's like...
Well, it's not
I
really.
I mean, I can't picture George Clooney being awkward in any situation.
Yeah, sure.
But, like, here's a crazy thing that happened. I went out to dinner with Steve Wozniak, one of the co-founders
That's
of Apple.
That's crazy.
Right? And, of course, the guy's fucking rich because he's a co-founder of Apple. And, like, when it came time for the check to come, it's like Steve Wozniak just pipes up. He says, since I picked the restaurant, I'm paying the tab. You know, I'm covering the check. And I just felt there was so much to that because it's like, I felt what he was really saying was, I'm not paying for dinner because I'm fucking rich. I'm paying because I picked the restaurant. And it was important to him, it felt to me, to make that distinction because it's his way of having boundaries, you know, like.
And he didn't want to like disrespect anyone who might be like,
impressed. I can pay for my own meal.
I was super impressed by it. Like it felt like healthy boundaries, and like, and he said it joyfully, you know, like, I picked the restaurant, I love this place, and that's why I'm paying.
Yeah. Nice.
You know?
Yeah, I think for George Clooney, it was like, listen, I just made $500 million. Like, I don't care how much you guys make. I just want to give some. He's like, you know, Steve will do it. You know, that's that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. How do you know about that? Because that's the other thing that makes it weird is when you draw attention to it.
Which?
The George Clooney thing.
How do I know that story?
Like, yeah.
Well, I've heard the story too, but yeah, did he tell people or did his friends tell people?
Right. It's kind of kooky.
He did, and he wrote the own article about himself.
No, he. Yeah, exactly. Oh, you're saying like, who did he tell afterwards?
Yeah. How did this get? Like, did
you? Yeah, I gave my buddies at the bar like. Well, yeah, dude, by the way, I just gave my buddies like $10 million. So
I mean, like,
I hate those YouTube videos where people are like, "All right, we're gonna go pay people's rent," and then they go door to door and film how good of a deed they're doing.
Yeah, yeah,
but I'm like, bro, do that without the cameras.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of cringy.
I agree. I completely agree.
It always rubs me the wrong way, like the artificial positivity, the good Samaritan shit for views. But then again, at the same time, it makes people happy. That's why that content's popular.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm a little torn about it.
Sure.
Well, just look at it and watch it and know that that guy is just doing it for selfish reasons because he gets a lot of views, probably.
But even if it's self-serving, he also just paid those people's rent. Like, they're not complaining. They're like, right. Yeah, I mean, you did that for yourself, but also my rent is now paid for the year. So, it's helping people, but it is very self-serving. So, yeah. I agree. It's such a paradox.
Well,
like,
then maybe
is it right or not?
Maybe they should donate the money that they make from that video to break even
maybe
or something.
I don't know.
Or they should... like take the money back,
yeah.
Just so like, you know, there's not
after
like a double intention
cut.
There. It's like, no, this is just for YouTube.
Yeah. Just for the video.
We're not actually taking it anymore.
This way, there's no confusion. It's completely self-serving.
You didn't actually think we were gonna do that, did you?
Oh my god.
But only after the cameras stop rolling.
Yeah, exactly.
Take it back.
I just want to throw it out there.
Cut.
That
all right.
I do all kinds of that stuff like without ever even mentioning it. Just want to put that out.
Same. I mean, you wouldn't believe this. I'm not gonna mention it though, but it's like. It's crazy.
That's so funny. So I'm curious about the app that you made. How long did it take you to make the app? And then I know there's two different thoughts because you... What are you laughing at over here?
I'm just laughing about... I've never mentioned it.
I would never mention it, but I've given a lot away. I really
just know.
I really
how much
help.
I don't
it's
know.
Crazy
47,000. Really, but other than that,
I would never say this publicly. But just between
that's
us,
that's great. No, okay. I had a question. So you made an app, and it was top of the Apple Store for apps. Okay, did it cost you a lot of money to make the app? Because I've had the idea to make some apps. And
he's had a million ideas.
And so when you bring them to these companies that make the apps for you, they're like, okay, it's going to be like $100,000. And then there's other people like, no, we can make these apps for like, you know, $5,000-$10,000. My question is, if you're going to go with a company that's going to make an app for you for like $1,000 to $5,000, chances are it's probably not going to get on the Apple Store. You're better off paying the $100,000 for like the software, and you have better chances at having a better... you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
it sounds like the people who only charge $5,000 or $10,000 are going to take a revenue share, right?
No, I mean, I don't know. It depends how complex the app is.
But can I make an app myself without going to a firm and doing that? And then I get it on the Apple Store and my chances are pretty good?
Yeah, you could do that.
Cody's expression is like, how do I be kind and gentle?
No,
right
no.
Here?
Yeah. Listen, it's been a long time since I programmed or wrote a line of code or, you know, even opened up like Xcode, which is a program that you use to make apps. So I don't even know what the current landscape is like. I really don't. I know that, you know, the app kind of golden era, like the gold rush age is kind of over in terms of apps.
Yeah.
You know, now everyone's like crypto. That's what everyone's focused on now.
Wow, dude.
In the tech world.
So now both of these guys' ears just perked up. They love crypto.
I like
really?
Crypto.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you invested into crypto?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, of course.
No, I mean, not of course. I actually bought Bitcoin in 2012.
Nice.
Like, when I read an article about it. Like I said, I used to work for a startup. I was a software engineer, so I was super, like, you know, involved in reading all the tech news and... and I read Hacker News all the time. And
did you see this documentary called Shiny Flakes?
No.
On Netflix? It's about a fucking teenage drug lord who became like fucking like this on the dark web or whatever out of his childhood bedroom at his parents' house. And it's it all happened in Germany. This fucking kid had like a ton of drugs in his bed, like actually a ton. And like all kinds. And this documentary on Netflix is it was made in German, but it's overdubbed and it's completely watchable.
Huh.
My girl and I, Lux, we watched the whole thing and we were just fucking.
And it was on the Silk Road. He was sending.
I don't know about Silk. I've never heard of Silk Road.
Silk Road was the dark web, or how you used to buy drugs.
I think this kid had the fucking website just on the regular web.
That's smart. I don't know. The bright web. Smart guy.
So you bought a Bitcoin, and at that, what was a Bitcoin at that time?
I think it was $200. I think it was 2013, and I bought it for around 150 to $200. I didn't have a ton of money back then, so. That even was like a huge risk. It was like, this is a decent amount of my rent this month. But this is a really cool idea, and I kind of believe in this. I could see how this would be gigantic in the future. And then last year was like the first time that I actually put like real money into Bitcoin and Ethereum. And now I've been like doing the NFT thing over the past couple weeks.
So you're selling NFTs?
I sold one. I'm trading them. I'm doing trading NFTs, yeah. I guess. Flipping them, yeah. I made $9,000 yesterday.
Just on getting art, flipping it.
Yeah. I couldn't fucking believe it.
So the NFT gold rush is still ongoing?
Yes. It's in the middle of it right now. Yeah. I think. I don't know. I've only been doing it for a week. So last week I bought my first one to try and flip it, just to try and learn. And then every day I've been like spending a couple hours learning about it. And to my knowledge right now, I think it's like, you know, the peak of it. So it's like a good time to get in and try to make some money.
What do you think next?
Dude, there's so many revenue streams that I'm just sitting on my ass not getting around to.
Twitch.
Yeah,
NFTs.
NFTs. OnlyFans.
Exactly, yeah.
Dude,
drops.
Drops. God damn.
You mean like merch drops?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I mean, there's time, though. Like, people have been doing merch drops forever.
But there's a lot of ways for people to make money when they think that, you know, there's only one way to make money, go to a 9-to-5 job, collect a check. But, dude, you can reinvent yourself. And there's a ton of cash to be made out there.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that.
Right. Yeah, especially, like, in the creator economy right now.
Jesus, dude.
Do you have a Patreon?
I don't.
So for our podcast, we do, like, one episode that we put out for free every week. And then in the same filming session, we'll film another hour. And we'll put that up for our Patreon subscribers. And that's worked really well for us. We have like 23,000 monthly paying customers, mm-hmm. which is great because it's like guaranteed income that we can just put back into the company and buy more stuff for the podcast and make the show better.
Dude, that's kind of fucking epic. Do you decide after the fact which hour will be free and which hour will be paid? Does this sometimes flip-flop?
Or it doesn't. We're always a little bit more like loose and relaxed in the bonus one, because it's behind a paywall, not everyone can see it, so we're kind of like, we talk a little bit more shit and stuff like that.
Like, dude, Steve will do it, post on Instagram, like, night before last, that he says, I'm streaming on Twitch from North Korea. I'm the fuck out. And then he says, link in bio. So I'm like, dude, I gotta fuck. This is for fucking real. So I open up my Twitch app, which is, like, got dust all over it, and he's doing his gambling thing. Like, the first thing I hear him say is like, dude, we fucking lost everything. we were up $200,000. Now we have nothing. People do it.
And we're in North Korea. Fuck. How are we going to get out?
He was in between two crazy statues, which really did seem to lend credibility to North Korea. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to fire him. I'm in the Twitch app. And I'm like, yo, dog, are you seriously in North Korea? I write this comment, try to post it. It says, you have to be a subscriber to post comments. And I'm like, motherfucker.
So you pulled out your credit card.
And the comments are just, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, every one of these people is just paying him.
Yeah.
I didn't pull out my credit card, but I did fucking make a mental note to stop fucking blowing it. I started thinking that, what if we had a live Twitch, just a fucking cell phone sitting here. So if you're a Twitch subscriber, or maybe or whatever, you can be at the podcast while it's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, you could definitely do that.
Until someone says the wrong thing that we wanted to edit out, but now it's live and it's out there.
Yeah, but they're paying.
But you know what the other thing? We shouldn't be sleeping on release forms. We don't ever have to worry about that if people fucking sign a release form when
The guests?
Yeah.
Well, I think the video, like, them acknowledging at the end that, like, hey, is there anything that you
want
to say?
But if it's going to be on Twitch, we want them to acknowledge in writing at the beginning.
Yeah, that's true.
So then I'd be fucked.
You're fucked. Yeah. Yeah. That thing that you want to cut out is not going anywhere, dude.
Yeah, I wouldn't get my green card.
No.
Yeah, are you in the process of getting your green card?
I got it. I'm just waiting for my status, my immigration status to switch, which takes, like, 6 months. So I can't leave the country.
So you've been here on a work visa the whole time?
Yeah.
That's 10 great.
10 years now, or longer than that.
Really?
12 years, yeah.
I've been on
6 different visas.
So do you get double taxed if you ever go back home? Like,
I was removed from the Canadian tax system, like, a long time ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because wasn't that an issue if you bought a house? They're like, well, you might have to declare double.
I think that, like, it is a question for residency. I think that's, you know, once you left and you're no longer a resident of Canada, then it's, like, arguable that, like, why would you pay taxes there?
Yeah.
You know,
although I've heard live there. The American system is actually way more intense about that. Like, it takes a few years. Like, they still come after, if you move to, like, Portugal or something like that, they'll still come after you for taxes, even if you're living there.
Because we're so in debt that it's fucking, they do everything they can to make money.
I don't know if that's true, by the way. If a tax lawyer is listening to this, I'd love to know the logistics of that.
Well, I'm looking at buying a property in Canada.
Oh, nice. Where?
In British Columbia.
Fuck yeah. Like, by Tofino?
Not Tofino. Not Vancouver Island, but like suburb of Vancouver.
Nice.
Like, this place.
That's incredible. I love it there.
Yeah, like, I'm really stoked for it. But if I've got a property there and a property here, then it, like, the tax. That's, I need a tax person too. So if you're a tax person,
yeah, reach out on the website. Do you have to worry about global warming in that area? Because the Pacific Northwest is pretty...
The Pacific Northwest is a hot spot.
But it doesn't make sense because I feel like it's raining there all the time.
It's summers that are prohibitively cold. Or, sorry, hot now. Like, we got fires going on there. But
that's just everywhere now.
Yeah. I know, so
dude. Think about global warming, Scott. It's global. It's kind of everywhere.
Right. with the NFTs, once you, like, sort of announce your involvement, like, what about all the comments from the people saying, but what about the environment? You're destroying the environment.
I did. I never said that I was doing this. I just started. Because it's not like I'm, you know, it's not like I'm doing the Logan Paul thing where I'm, like, making an NFT that has my face on it. And I'm like, hey, buy my NFT. I'm more, like, in the midst trading these things with all the kids that are doing that right now.
But that's why the problem is people are doing it on the Ethereum platform. If they do it on the Cardano platform, there's 90% less energy to make an NFT.
Oh, how about
I did get those chirps, though. Like, because when I first, like, my friend who's an artist made me a little picture, and I bought it just to, like, see what, this was like a couple months ago, just to see what it was all about. And so I posted, I was like, this is my first NFT purchase, and every comment was like, well, you're burning, like, you know, the fires are because of you, and what about the environment concerns? And I'm like, it was a chain that said D's Nuts on it. That was the picture, and I was like, this isn't that serious. What did I do wrong?
That's great. I don't understand it, man. So, like, why is an email destroying the fucking...
Exactly.
It's electronic.
It's like you take a flight in your life, that's probably just as bad.
Right. Or you live in a house. Like, it's all...
I know.
Right. We're all destroying everything.
Yeah.
For God's sakes. But Cardano, huh?
I guess because it's, like, proof of work versus proof of stake.
Right.
And I think the proof of work is, like, the computers that are, like, constantly mining for these.
Mm-hmm.
And that platform is proof of stake, which means... God knows what, but that's, like, the idea behind it.
Yeah.
All right. So let's break down the top revenue streams.
OnlyFans.
OnlyFans number one.
Patreon number two.
People love, you know, what Pornhub, I got going on underneath this.
Pornhub number three.
It's mostly all porn, honestly.
I mean, like, podcasting is legit revenue. Right?
Yeah, I think probably. The most lucrative thing for me personally right now is my YouTube channel.
Okay.
I think just because I've been doing it for so long, my CPMs have gone up year over year, and I think I've figured out how to make content that you know, people
monetized.
Enjoy, but also like is the most efficient in terms of monetization.
Right. And how often are you uploading?
Like 2 to 3 times a week now.
Damn.
So I have like a production assistant who helps me generate like ideas and find content and stuff like that. And then I have 2 to 3 editors that help me out. And this is all like within the past, you know, year and a half that I've figured out how to finally hire and delegate. I used to just do everything myself.
So 2 to 3 times.
And then
times.
I was just like, this is not scalable. Mm-hmm. I'm going insane.
2 to 3 times per week. And that's not including podcasts?
That's
or it
not. That's just on my personal channel.
Damn.
And then, like, I do like 2 to 3 brand deals on that channel a month, too, which is also really good. I mean, that's, like, equal to the AdSense, basically.
Is there an agency that's soliciting your brand deals?
I'm signed with UTA.
Okay, there you go.
So they get me, like, all of those.
Wow.
And then it's that, and then I think second most lucrative probably is the podcasts, just because with ads and Patreon combined.
So AdSense actually competes with sponsor deals for branded content?
It does, yeah. It does.
Wow.
YouTube went through this period where like nobody was making money on AdSense because people, like advertisers, were so freaked out about, you know, their content, that content that they'd be advertising on content that wasn't suitable for their brand or whatever.
Right.
So there's like that's when the adpocalypse happened.
Sure.
Nobody made any money, and then it came back harder than ever.
Okay.
For me, I don't know. I don't know if it's the same with other people, but
it's not the same with me because I'm like, yeah, I have trouble keeping those dollar signs green.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that is.
Yeah,
it is. You do kind of have to like censor yourself a little bit, which is a little bit shitty.
I mean, whatever. Like, I'm sure you don't have to censor yourself too much. I just like the nature of what I do is like.
Yeah. By the way, that video that you posted of you guys fighting the NSDs, that was so fucking funny,
dude. Thanks
so
much, man. That, like.
Just those shots of you, like, trying so hard to fight it, I was dying at that.
Yeah, well, thanks, dude.
You held out, too. Like, the doctor had to kind of, like, push Steve's head down because he was, like, even when he couldn't talk, like, your subconscious was like, I'm staying.
I'm going to win.
Yeah.
Dying watching that.
Yeah, dude. That's so funny.
Do you even remember being in that state of mind, like, trying to fight it?
Nah. Nah.
Autopilot, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, dude, thanks so much again. So AdSense is killing it. The brand deals is killing it. I've struggled to get brand deals. I think the brands just are kind of freaked out by, like, you know, the poo cannon.
Yeah, the, like, yeah. Why would they be? I mean,
right.
Are you signed with anyone?
No. Like, I've got an agent just for touring.
Okay.
You know, like
UTA or
I'm ICM.
Okay.
And I love my touring agent Adam Ginovizian. He's great. And it's just that, like, for some reason, like all the other departments of the agency just never like showed me love. You know, like I just like gathered dust everywhere. Nothing ever happened, and I was like, all right, I'm just gonna, you know, pull out and just stick with touring.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a good time to revisit because I have, like, done a fair amount of work to sort of.
Yeah, you
like,
should hit them up for sure. I'm sure the digital, like, you know, part of that industry would, or the agency would love to start getting you shit.
It's an interesting idea, man.
Agents aren't the most forward thinking.
Right.
No. They're not the most, like, I mean, I love my agent. She's amazing. But just in terms of, like, being proactive about stuff. Agents, yeah, mostly, in my experience, have been, like, very reactive.
Right.
It's like you come to them and you're like, look at all the shit I'm getting. And they're like, oh, we'll try and get you some stuff. It's like,
let's go to
no
lunch.
One's, like, doing research, like, on your channel to see.
So you're saying that UTA is doing that for you?
Yeah, I mean, my agent used to be my manager, and then she got a job for UTA. So, like, she still has that, you know, managers are more, like, intimate, I guess, where they really learn, like, the ins and outs of your career. And she's been with me now for, like, 7 years or something.
Cool.
So now she's my agent, but typically, like, I don't know, agents are, I don't know, they're always busy with having a million clients, you know?
Right. They're very good at picking up the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, sorry, picking up the phone to answer calls.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, not really
not
dialing.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you exclusive with UTA in the digital branded deals?
Full Screen used to get me those as well.
Yeah.
So it was like, but now the full screen's gone. They don't anymore.
I got an important question to ask you. Your whoop strap.
Yeah.
What's your HRV?
You wanna,
what's your average?
My recovery was today. Let's
because
see.
Because your dad and your mom both do like
triathlons
and Ironmans.
Forgot to turn it off after my workout, so I've been working out for 4.5 hours.
See, that's why. But I'm just curious to see what your resting HRV is.
Today was
59.
59. Wow, I'd expect you to be over 100.
Yesterday or like last week is 54, 60.
So you stay at HRV.
Oh, wait, my resting heart rate?
No, HRV.
Your HRV is the
heart rate variability.
Yeah, right. So what is that like? How does that compare to yours?
It'll say right here.
Yeah, 48.
Ah, 48. Yeah, okay.
60.
Oh, dude.
54.
You're 40,
what are you
you're
guys?
An anomaly. I'm at like same with you, 50 or 60. Steve's at like 130.
What?
140. Yeah.
So do you get like 100% recovery every day?
No. And but the higher recovery, the higher the HRV.
Right.
Yeah, let's not like alienate the listeners. I mean, we love Whoop and shout out to the Whoop Whoop.
I love this thing.
It's pretty rare that we record a podcast and it goes up the next day.
Yeah.
This one's going live tomorrow.
Oh, okay, cool.
And today they
Happy
announced,
Thursday, people.
Yeah, dude, fucking right on. Today the Paramount Pictures announced that Jackass Forever is not in fact coming out on October 22nd, but they're pushing it to February 4th next year due to COVID.
Jackass for later. Yep.
Oh, because they want it
because
in theaters.
Because of the Delta, you know, whatever. So, yeah, February 4th is the new release date. My dad speculates that COVID's going to be even worse in February then.
You think so?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm stoked for the new Jackass.
Well, thanks, man.
We were watching...
It's really fucking
good.
We
just watched the original Jackass movie, like, 2 months ago.
We were still figuring out what we were doing with the original Jackass movie.
So
it was
good.
Just kind of felt like, you know... It had its own quality to it. Then Jackass number 2, we had figured out what we were doing. Yeah. That was the masterpiece.
Yeah.
Jackass number 3 was the biggest financial success, but like not even the best movie.
Hmm.
And this fourth one is will never beat number 2, but we smashed number 3, dude. We walked all over number 3, dude.
Like like financially?
No. It's not out yet. So
The
quality-wise.
Yeah,
it's so fucking good.
I'm so stoked.
It's so fucking good. And, dude, so yeah, we had this call with the cast where they announced to us that they're going to push the movie. And Dave Anglin's like, no, hands on his head. He's like, you can just see the agony in his face. And I said, Dave, dude, what are you talking about? Like, the trailer came out. There's a big buzz around the movie. You know, like, we're kind of hot shit right now. And the second that movie comes out, we're washed up losers again. You know, the more they can kick it down the road, the longer we're hot shit.
There you go. You're like, I hope this thing never comes out.
Right. Carter 5,
I hope COVID keeps getting worse, actually.
Dude, Carter 5, baby. Carter 5.
Exactly.
Yeah, dude. So we got AdSense, we got brand deals, we got podcasts, and
merch.
We just got into the merch drops.
Yeah. I've done merch for a while, but finally, I'm with a company that's super organized, really proactive. So
what's the company?
It's called Kozak.
Okay.
They're amazing. Shout out to Kozak.
Oh, wait,
what
do they do? Is it like Teespring or something?
No, they're just... The guy owns a factory like somewhere close to LA, and so he prints everything himself.
And fulfills the orders?
Yes. They do everything. So, like, it's, you know, typically, you know, I've been with merch companies that do pre-orders, so, like, they'll wait to see how many you sell, and then they'll go into distribution and ship them out. So that takes a long time for people, and then they're like, where's my merch? Like, a month later.
Yeah,
and then, you know, I've been with people that do shit right away, but aren't as proactive in terms of planning your upcoming drops and analyzing what's worked and what hasn't worked. They're more of like a, you're on your own. We're going to print and ship. That's all we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And these guys are a perfect mix of everything where it's like people get their merch really fast. They help you plan out drops. They have great relationships with amazing artists. I just like, I'm thrilled, honestly. So they've helped me like increase my revenue, but it took me like 6 years.
Dude,
to find a, you know, a really good relationship.
What about music? Music has to have been in the top 3. Because, dude, I'm getting back in the music game. I got to.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, there was a minute there before I got sober, I was trying to make comedy rap.
Yeah.
And
it's fun.
It's fun, dude. I know.
You got to give yourself a timeline, though.
I know I do. I've got one idea for a song that's fucking going to be a banger. I've got two ideas for songs that are going to be bangers.
How many songs do you want to have on the album, dude? Six?
I mean, what do you think, dude? You got to have like at least 10, right?
What are we talking? Yeah, probably for an album, like 12. EP you could do? 4 or 5 songs?
Or you could just start dropping singles, you know?
Yeah, and do that.
Single like after single stream. After single.
Is this a good rap song? I shit my pants. Like, damn, I shit my pants.
Why, is this based off of True Life?
Yes. That is hot.
That is gold.
Did this just happen to you recently?
Nah, but...
I like it.
But I mean, I have shit my pants before.
I mean, that's why it's sick, because it's relatable.
I know. I've shit my pants before, and I think I can really, like, you know, convey that emotion.
Yeah. You know? Translate it. I think it's good.
I made one that I never release. I still want to release it, because I want to shoot a video for it, but it was called She's a Freak. And the first verse is about how she's like, you know, I like meet this girl in the club and I want to take her home. And then we get home and she's a total freak, but it's like she's an actual monster. Like she's got like wings and like like gills and just like she's a complete freak.
Yeah, that'd be a good video.
I've got a tune like that about my actual fiance.
Okay.
Where it's like a beautiful love song. She's the perfect woman for me. Like, you know, our love is so real. But then that fucking week fucking on the calendar shows up, you know.
Okay.
It's just a song about what a bitch my girl is when she's on the rack.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's going to love that song.
That's going to go real well.
Well, no, she's already into it.
Oh, really?
She's already down.
Oh, like, that's cool.
Like, you know, I mean, whatever. Maybe not the way I just worded it. But yeah, like, you know, she, like, just, like, it's called, like, you know, the Angel and Demon, you know, like
it's not called You're a Total Bitch on the Rack. Because that's
my
a dope name.
Because that's a dope. It's pretty dope.
Sketchy.
Man, I didn't hit the timer, dude. How long have we been going?
Oh,
not that I have
about an hour.
I feel like this hasn't been, for me, my best job of running a podcast, but it's also been very informal and like we're just hanging out.
It might have been my fault because
I
want to hang with you guys because, like I said, I watch the show, so it's like an honor for me to. I like, you know, when you listen to a podcast, you're like, I wish I could ask them that. So I took this opportunity to like,
dude,
ask
it.
You guys questions.
And wow, really?
I'm enjoying this a lot. This is great.
I think it's been a fun hang.
It's been a fun hang. Yeah,
and I don't mind saying that Cody Coe is a fucking hot dude.
Hot dude.
You think so?
Yeah. I think you're highly attractive.
Even with the little girl haircut,
is no match.
Do you have two earrings?
It's not
or
even
one
a mullet.
Earring.
It's just one earring.
Oh, gotcha.
It's just like a legitimately like 8-year-old girl haircut.
I think you're legit hot, dude. I used to have a joke in my stand-up.
He's like, I used to have a crush on you.
I used to have a joke in my stand-up. I'd be like, man, what a great crowd, dude. Like, this fucking hot dude right here. And then I'd say, like, you know, like, that's me, man. I'm perfectly comfortable saying when a dude is hot, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like most guys, if you ask them, is this guy hot? They'd be like, dude, what do you think? I'm some kind of gay dude.
Yeah, I'm not gay, man.
Right, but they know exactly when to be jealous of a hot dude talking to their girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
So clearly every guy knows when another guy's hot.
Oh, yeah.
You know a hot dude when you see one.
Oh, yeah.
No question.
And I'm down with admitting that. I'm down with calling it out. You're hot. So, you know, like, you're not welcome to talk to my girl. You know, like right here, you're not welcome to talk to my girl. You're not. You're good.
Yeah.
And then that's the joke. You
like you could take her to dinner. I'm not worried about you.
Yeah, you're fine. I got no worries.
You can take her
to Belize for the weekend.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you'd be disturbed if like Lux came home and she was like, "Dude, I have a friend from work that wants to hang out. His name's Cody." You look at his Instagram, you're like, God damn it.
Not fucking cool, dude.
No, but you do appreciate a good-looking man.
I do.
I think more than most. You're
more than
to
most.
Call it out.
Yeah, did I call you the gorgeous Paul Brisky on this?
I don't know on this episode if you did. Probably you were distracted by Cody's eyes.
Right. I like to surround myself with a hot dude, so this has been a very enjoyable hour.
But you told me I was good-looking the day I met you.
Oh, good.
Do you remember? I met you at
Peru?
VidCon. I don't know if you even remember.
At VidCon?
Like, Yuka brought me over to you to like meet you. He's like, hey, this is Paul, by the way. And you're like, hey, good looking dude. It's like the first thing you said to me.
I say that
What's
regularly.
Up, dude? You're hot as shit, by the way.
Yeah, I say that regularly, but only when it's a hot dude.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a straight shooter.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Well, I appreciate that because I get ripped apart on my channel for
no
for what?
Well, just because like I've established this energy of like I make fun of things, so people are like it's free game to make fun of you, which it totally is. I'm down to make fun of myself, but it's like you know, the compliments are pretty few and far between.
Is there anything that ever just like hurts your feelings though, or are you pretty? Water off a duck's back to all the criticism.
I think everybody gets sensitive. Like you
don't. I'm pretty. And it, sorry to interrupt, but it's like as I get older, I get more fragile. I feel like.
Yeah.
You know. It's but so also funny. More, you don't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah. I was telling Paul because Paul hadn't been around for the last couple episodes, and people thought it was some like conspiracy, and they saw me with the pillow right here, and they're like, "Dude, Scott's covering up the soundboard because Paul's not around," and I'm like. I have a pillow over me because I'm fat and I'm hiding my fucking gut that I'm embarrassed about, dude. Like, I wrote that back on the comment and it's just so funny that people think different conspiracies, but I'm just like, no, dude, like.
What to me is heartening is that people care enough to pay that much attention. Like, that's fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're like Paul, when an actress is pregnant on a sitcom, you know, they're always trying to like hide it, like uh-huh. Yeah.
Are you calling me pregnant?
No,
bro?
No, just I was adding on to your. No,
I'm mortified how much weight I've gained, but like, fuck it.
The reality of why Paul was gone is that we never changed to lavender for you. That Paul was gone because he wanted to propose to his girl and took 2 fucking weeks to do it, and then once he finally came back. Then he went to some other bro's bachelor party, and both of these were, like, distant, like, interstate trips.
Yeah, you have any more people you're going to propose to in the next couple weeks?
Yeah, you get any more fucking...
There's
more
weddings coming. There's a wedding now for that the bachelor party was for.
Well, is that going to be another trip to Florida?
No, but it's a trip
to Turkey
the Midwest.
For 7 months.
yeah, it's on the moon.
Isn't there just, like, a million weddings now?
Yeah,
how old are you?
I'm 31.
Yeah, it's just like every weekend. It's crazy.
How old are you, Cody?
I'm 30.
You're 30?
Almost 31. I'm 31 in November, so I'm pretty close.
See, you guys are at the age where people get married. I'm at the age where people get divorced.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't have anything to go to for the next while.
I just meant to put it together, too. Scott's done. Like, I'm like, what's he doing with the pillow now? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's hot as balls. We have an air conditioner in here on full blast. And Scott's wearing a fucking winter coat.
Yeah, I have a fucking body dysmorphia, dude.
Scott, you're beautiful.
I feel beautiful.
Good.
You've always been gorgeous, man.
But you don't call me gorgeous anymore, dude.
Well.
Because you got fat.
I didn't say that.
No, I'm just kidding. I love it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so good.
Well, I think on that note, dude. What can we drive people to
tomorrow? Today,
you know, Jackass 4.
Dude,
coming out in February.
I want to drive some traffic to the Truth or Dab to go buy the Butthole Destroyer comes out today.
We just fucking came out with Steve-O's Butthole Destroyer. I'm so scared that someone's going to be like, oh, cool, let me pour it in my eye, because this is not, like, to do fucking silly shit with. The top 3 ingredients are the 3 hottest peppers on earth.
So it's really that hot?
It's so fucking hot.
Yeah, the first thing on the ingredient list is what there's the most of in the bottle, and that's scorpion, ghost, and Carolina Reaper.
That's the filler.
Scorpion, cum, spices,
the 3 hottest peppers on earth fill up the bottle more than anything else.
Did you do... Truth or Dab or whatever?
Yeah.
So, like, how does it compare to the bomb or, like, that spiciest one? Because one of them fucked me up. I felt drunk afterwards. I had, like, a solid hour after. I had, like, a head buzz.
Really?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Tomorrow is September 2nd when Truth or Dab comes out. Yeah, so it's a double upload day, and it's me and Wee Man on Truth or Dab.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Except for us, it's Truth and Dab.
Because you just do it every time.
There's no question that we cared to avoid, and there was no wing we cared to avoid. Plus that we all dipped into the Butthole Destroyer.
And how does it compare to the bomb?
I mean, I think that candidly... Before we recorded the Truth or Dab, I asked Sean Evans. Is it like going to bum you guys out if I point out that like Butthole Destroyer is hotter than anything you've ever had on your show because they're like kind of celebrity centric.
Yeah.
You know, like they can't really like give like these huge celebrities Butthole Destroyer because it's so fucking hot.
Yeah.
Is it that hot compared to the shit on there?
I think so. But then again, let me not disparage hot ones. They got some hot ass shit.
Yeah.
I'm not even really sure. All I know is that Butthole Destroyer is so fucked up that when we were doing taste tests, I straight up tapped out by putting a little bit on a tortilla chip and was fucking, like, putting ice cubes in my mouth, like, 45 minutes later.
Damn.
Yeah, let this be the disclaimer. Do not fuck around with this hot sauce. It's hot as fuck, dude. Don't put it in your eye. Definitely don't put it in your ass.
Definitely don't put it in your eye. I'm thinking about putting it in my ass.
Wow.
I'm thinking about it. I don't know. I almost did, like, when was it, like, yesterday?
Yeah, yeah.
I talked about actually doing it yesterday, and then I was like, you know what? I'm not. I'm good. All right, man. So, Cody Co on Instagram.
Yeah, or YouTube or, you know, whatever. Tiny Meat Gang is my podcast.
Dude, epic.
And your music, Tiny Meat Gang.
Yep.
Check them out.
Yep, on Spotify. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It was
fucking an honor,
a blast,
man.
And it's
an honor. And I hadn't even put it together. Oh yeah, that's right. That we fucking hung out in Vancouver, and then you bailed
in Montreal.
Yeah.
Oh, was it Montreal?
Yeah, Montreal. The Montreal Comedy Festival.
Yeah. I did the Montreal, Vancouver, and Toronto that year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah,
it was a good time.
I remember that. The after party was kind of sick.
Yeah, at the bar, like in the hotel. Yeah, it was pretty fun. And Montreal's a cool place.
Yeah, I love it there.
Yeah. All right,
thanks,
dog.
Dude.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate
you, man.
It, man. Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Great to meet you guys.
Nice to see you again.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude. I was not kidding about I'm getting ready to bone Lux. That's what I'm saying. So, there's been a few times where we actually recorded the podcast on the day before it went out. Like, it's exciting, man. You love a good current podcast. You know what else I love? It's you, man, for sticking around to the very end. You ever see this guy? He's a real jerk. But you aren't. Thank you. Yeah.
If you're in business, you probably have a website. But can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.